Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Joe Papp was obsessed with Shakespeare.
Joe told me that he was brought up in a household in Brooklyn where Polish, Yiddish, and a little bit of English were spoken.
Composer David Amram.
And when he first read Shakespeare, he loved it so much, he started going to the library and reading other books in English and decided that the English language was for him.
Amram met Papp in the mid-50s when Papp hired him for a small sum to write incidental music for his first Shakespeare Theater workshop, which had been performing free Shakespeare for about 2 years at the Emanuel Church on the Lower East Side of New York. For the composer, who'd been working part-time at the post office to stay afloat, it was a big deal to be employed by Papp, who, by the way, was a stage manager at CBS Television. That was his day job. By night, he produced Shakespeare.
And as he said later on when he was interviewed, he said, I and David had no place to go but up. We were both total zeros in the fall of 1956.
But nobody ever thought of Papp as a zero, even if they couldn't quite believe everything he said.
Joe was energetic, full of life, and dreamed of having productions of Shakespeare in Central Park.
Thereby hangs a tale, you might say. Papp's company outgrew the little church, of course, and moved next to an amphitheater near the entrance to the Manhattan Bridge.
And that's one of the parks of New York City.
It's one Papp of the parks described of the city, yes. It in a 1956 Voice of America interview.
A lovely little amphitheater which seats 2,000. That's not too little. And is surrounded by trees and is in a lovely, natural locale. Very conducive to listening, I would say.
Of course, it was a risky move. He wasn't absolutely sure he could fill the place. On opening night, there was a noisy crowd of a couple of thousand people waiting to get in.
The lights dimmed that night, and I didn't know what to expect. And this noise that had been going on for the past half hour suddenly completely subsided. And then the first big speech was over. You blocks, you stones, you worse than senseless things, oh, you hot hearts, you cruel men of Rome. There was a massive, tremendous kind of applause and shouting. The actors, who had never had this experience before, were simply amazed by this experience. You know, it was something fantastic, but they loved it.
The crowds poured in, but the Shakespeare Theater Workshop was still operating at a loss, still charging no admission. That was one of Papp's absolutely unshakable principles.
He felt this was almost an entitlement.
Arthur Gelb.
That Shakespeare taught us about ourselves, about our own lives, and about the lives around us.
Gelb, then Metropolitan editor and culture editor of the New York Times, got a mild fright when Joe Papp, who was a total stranger, strode into his office at the Times unannounced.
I could still see him right in front of me.
He looked like a man possessed. He was demanding a review from a New York Times drama critic. He said his company couldn't survive without it. Gelb was the only one around, and he had other commitments. Papp was unmoved, literally.
And he said, well, when I say I'm desperate, I mean it, and I'm going to sit down here right now. Nothing will budge me or move me. I will stay here until you promise that you will come and see my show. And he sat right down on the floor in the office.
So what's a culture's art to do? Gelb rearranged his schedule, went to see Taming of the Shrew in the open air that night, and wrote a rave review. Next hurdle, Parks Commissioner Robert Moses. Forget rain, money, airplanes overhead, critics. This was an opponent. By this time, Papp's Shakespeare Company was touring around city parks, including Central Park, working out of a flatbed truck. For this, Papp had a summer permit allowing the free performances.
We went from Staten Island to the Bronx to Brooklyn.
It was exciting, and don't forget, we were young.
Jerry Stiller and later his wife, Ann Mira, were actors in the company. By that time, Papp and his Shakespeare productions were beginning to acquire a reputation. Audiences were as animated as ever.
We had that scene in Romeo and Juliet where Romeo is proposing to Juliet, and all of a sudden some kid in the audience was screaming out, give it to her, Romeo, give it to her, good baby. He made it into something human, Shakespeare. And that's what it kind of created the excitement, and we never changed a line.
Shakespeare in the Park was gaining momentum. behind the scenes, the Parks Department, under the famously powerful Commissioner Robert Moses, was starting to make things difficult. They wanted Papp out. He was bringing a new element into the park. He was causing problems, they said. One major concern, they claimed, was soil erosion. Moses said he would require that Papp charge admission to pay for any damage. But Papp's Free Shakespeare was an institution by now. When news of the soil erosion charge reached the public through the newspapers, bags of grass seed sent by a public that wanted its Shakespeare began to pile up on Robert Moses' desk. Moses dug his heels in. He played a popular card of this period in the 50s.
Moses spread the word that Joe had been a card-carrying communist, which he was in the early 40s. He quit in the 50s, but Moses found out about that and spread the word that he was a communist. And everyone thought this would be the end of Joe's career, so it was a very difficult time.
Joe said, "I did nothing wrong."
David Amram.
"This is ridiculous, and I'm going to stand up for my rights."
And people rallied in defense of Papp and his Shakespeare obsession. As one leading figure in the city said, "I can't detect any communism in Shakespeare. So we'd better just leave it at that."
Joe, sticking to his guns, on the right side, the right cause, had the people behind him. And once you have the people behind you, there's no losing. And Moses finally had to give in.
Joseph Papp has come to the end of a long road.
In 1962, the Delacourt Theater, a structure built especially for Papp's Free Shakespeare, was launched in Central Park.
Joe Papp. The existence of this theater is a tribute to democracy. It's a dramatization of a city government's response to the will of its people.
Under the city charter, I the ninth name this structure the Delacourt Theater, which will be so known forever and ever.
So next time you wait in line for tickets to Free Shakespeare in Central Park, remember the long road. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.